Listeners be advised. The Holiloquy podcast discusses matters related to the human experience and many that are sexual in nature. Due to this, some conversations may surround triggering topics such as sexual violence, self-harm, abuse, and much more. Please be advised. A list of crisis and psychological resources will be available in the show notes of this episode. With that said, let's get started with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please, as we go through the following safety instructions.
In the event that there is a loss of cabin pressure, oxygen mask will drop from the overhead. Place the mask over your nose and mouth. Breathe normally as oxygen is flowing even if the mask is not accessible. Be sure to adjust your own mask before helping others.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the Holiloquy podcast. This is your, I messed that all the way up. Oh my God. Anyways, let's just rewind. Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the Holiloquy podcast, where we step out and speak on sexuality. This is your favorite host, Vernon T. Scott, also known as Slater Jackson, and those freaking motherfuckers out there, Sebastian Adams. On today's episode, I am blessed to be with Tyrell once more, and we are talking about sexually transmitted infections. If y'all don't know what that is, that's also STDs. That is also things that you might catch when you're out here having sex. So to start off this, what were you about to say?
Oh, no, I was about to say yes. Yeah, interchangeable terms.
Look, now to start off this conversation, let's start talking about the stigmas related to STIs. What you got for me?
Oh, you know, it's so interesting. For all of my TV lovers out there, by now, you know, guys know I've mentioned before how much of a TV fanatic I am. So I'm going to reference TV for just a moment. For anybody who is a fan of the medical drama New Amsterdam, they actually just recently had an episode where they dealt with the ER case of older adults in a, you know, in a kind of nursing home environment had an outbreak of gonorrhea. Mm. And the nature of the episode, it was funny at first because of the fact, obviously, the doctor of the show having to question these older adults about their sexual activity, knowing that depending on what kind of culture you stem from, you know, you do not ask older, you know, adults mm-hmm. about their sex life. A lot of older adults even deny having a sex life, even though it was clearly an outbreak that was happening. And so the nature of the episode, if you happen to watch the show and things like that, you'll know that the doctor who was involved in this particular case, how she really thought it was a shame that older adults really, you know, feel stigmatized by the nature of the fact that they don't feel comfortable in spaces to ask like sex questions. Mm-hmm. And so the nature of the episode, that's how it transpired. She got them all together and, you know, told them to ask anything, you know, so they asked questions about, is it okay after a certain age not to, you know, use condoms? You know, is it okay, you know, to still tell their partner, you know, what it is that they're wanting? And, you know, just all of these, you know, kind of feel good topics when it comes to sex and sex education, because I think that that's a big misconception. Sex education doesn't stop, you know, when you get to be, you know, venture into adulthood. Sex education is throughout the nature of your life, because as we age, as our wants and our desires tend to change, so does the education around those wants and desires. So I just want to, you know, put that out there. If you haven't checked out that episode, definitely do that.
Man, now you about to already have me on a whole ass tangent in the episode just fucking started. Oh my God, this is what we're going to do today, Tyrell. This is what the fuck we're going to do. But like you said, sex education is throughout your life. You should be learning about certain things related to human sexuality at a young age. What the first thing you need to be learning is consent, which is something that we are not taught. You should know bad touch, good touch, You should not be forced to hug people. You should have body autonomy throughout your life. But that's the conversation that a lot of people are not ready and willing to have.
And I think in the nature of discussing, you know, the nature of STIs, I think that a lot of times the reason why we don't have a proper education about it is because of how we have tended to learn about it. I know, mm-hmm. speaking personally for myself, I didn't really have sex education in high school. Basically, we had like physical health class, and pretty much the main things that were discussed about sex were obviously the biological factors and STDs. So I remember, one of the distinct things I do remember is sitting in my health class, and all of a sudden there's one day we're in class and we're just being showed this slideshow of just like different pictures of different STDs. And I'm just like, but you know, what's going through my mind is that, okay, is like, is this all, you know? So it's kind of like, oh, if I have, you know, unprotected sex, or if I'm in a situation to, you know, where I'm having unprotected sex, like, oh, is this automatically just going to happen? You know, what are the statistics, you know, how does, you know, STIs obviously affect self-identifying men, self-identifying women, or anyone in between, you know? And it's just like all of these questions just, you know, float around through your mind, but it's just like, oh, here it is. And without no type of context of
anything. Nothing. Like, I have to say, I had a very similar education, well, lack thereof, sex ed as well. It's like, I remember in middle school, we're just told, okay, these are STDs. You know, I think about, you know, that dream, Mean Girls moment when they're, you know, the coach, ooh, is just like, you have sex, you get, you'll die.
You'll die. Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's essentially what we're, what it is. So I'm like, in middle school, I'm like, okay, so you're saying if I have sex with somebody, you mentioned condom, they just said the pill, you have the pill for pregnancy and you have condoms, but you should be abstinent because, you know, you can catch these diseases and whatnot. And I'm like, okay, but you're not really telling me anything. And that actually was, that lack of information is what got me on my journey of, you know, where I am today, of learning more about sex, of learning about sexuality, learning about what these diseases mean. I should not have been in the seventh grade or eighth grade looking into health statistics about teenage pregnancy, because this was not answered to me in school. And I'm trying to figure out, why the hell are these middle school kids coming around with big stomachs and pregnant? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. And that was actually, honestly speaking, you know, just for my story, why I was never really a social butterfly in school, but a good part of the reason why I abstained from sex, you know, in school was because of the fact I didn't know, you know, growing up that sex was for pleasure. I really was thinking that sex was just for biological purposes. Mm-hmm. So I automatically assumed that, you know, obviously before I knew I was attracted to men, you know, I just had this mentality, the fact that, oh, I thought that if I had sex, like what would happen if I got, you know, a girl pregnant? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, something along those lines. I was like, oh no, I definitely don't, you know, want that. So, you know, that was one of the big reasons why I even abstained, you know, from sex and, you know, in school. But yeah, it's just like, you know, when you're discussing sexual health, it really can't even be called sexual health, because you're not being given any type of context, no mm-hmm. kind of social responsibility that, you know, we need to have obviously for each other. And I think now, because obviously, ooh, I'm telling our age right now. So obviously because, you know, we were as big on social media like we are today.
Right.
Where, you know, we do, you know, have our favorite, you know, sex content creators and, you know, things like that, where you do see a lot of sex that is happening, interactions that are happening without, you know, proper protection or, or condom use, that I think now, perhaps, and I may be speaking prematurely, I think now I can only imagine all of the mixed messages that kids have now coming up. Because on one hand, you're wanting to follow the right example and making sure that, yeah, you are using protection, you're doing this, you're doing that. But figuring out, as you mentioned earlier, how do you actually have autonomy of your own body? And what does that look like? you know, for you. And also because of the fact we have, you know, just a click and instant access to free porn, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, oh, I see these adult stars are not, you know, necessarily doing it. So maybe it must be okay, you know. And I'm not saying that to be true, but I can, you know, only imagine that those may be some of the mixed messages that, you know, where they're coming from.
Yeah. And it's like, I even think back to, like, I learned more about the reproductive system in high school in my anatomy class, where my anatomy teacher, she made it a purpose to educate us properly in Ooh. Terms of how the body functions, but not necessarily to provide sex ed, which I'm not faulting her for because that was not part of her job. Wow. But even just knowing that side of things, I'm still stuck on, okay, so this is how a person gets pregnant. That's great. But this is not telling me anything about the transmission of diseases, and we're not getting any value there. And I think the first time I actually got anything that dealt with statistics and how it impacts populations was when I got into college. And even that presentation was more so shaming people about having sex and actually educating them about having sex. Like, if anybody who attended my meeting that I was at for in college, they would have just been disgusted to even be sexually interested in any person that is from the city of Macon or lived within that community, because the slideshow that they're presenting us is, oh, this person whose entire, like, their penis pretty much decayed. They suffered from this disease and they're of this community. And it was a Black person, spotty too, which even made it even more offensive in my eyes. But it's like, so you're telling us that we cannot be out here on these streets hooking up with these people, because you're telling us as college students that the community that we're in is unsafe, most definitely to engage in sexual activity with. So you should just stay on campus, pretty much. Wow. That is what you told us.
Yeah. And I think, you know, even for my college experience, it was kind of like I went to, you know, a small, you know, kind of like HBCU. And I remember, like, during freshman orientation, as they were talking about, you know, developing relationships and, you know, things like that, they were like, you know, be careful about who you decide to engage with, because, you know, being at a small college, you know, word spreads. So, you know, your mm-hmm. business is not just, you know, your business. And I remember whenever they had the sexual health vehicles and programs, they used to come to, you know, do like the HIV testing and, you know, things like that, that was even before, obviously, I was sexually active. And the thing is, just as a, you know, an adult, and even just, you know, not necessarily, obviously I wasn't sexually active at the time, but I just always felt an enormous responsibility to know my sexual status, you know my mm-hmm. sexual status. So it was always a trip, because me and some of my other, you know, people who I used to hang with, we would, you know, stand by the truck, you know, waiting for our turn. And there would not be like a line that was forming to, you know, make sure that, you know, you're getting tested and things like that. And, you know, we kind of had kind of like the inside joke is like, yeah, you know, considering we know certain people's business, like, they need to have a lot more people around
front. A word,
you know. And it's not even, you know, like you say, it was not even necessarily about shaming, but it's just the nature, I think, the messages of shame, as to say, like, if you have engaged, you know, with unprotected sex, or you have engaged with somebody who has had multiple sex partners, there is this, you know, kind of connotation that, oh, like, that person is dirty.
The Holiloquy podcast focuses on the variability of sexual expression. When it comes to sexual expression, we often depend on pornography to illustrate how one must perform sexually. For those who have not learned this by now, the stuff you see in porn is not real. Pornography provides a singular perspective of sexual expression that is not often the reality we see during our own sexual encounters. The Holiloquy podcast is a conversation that takes you outside of the compressed box of what many know about sex. Some of the topics we discuss includes kinks, condom usage, status disclosure, and past sexual experiences. The Holiloquy Podcast steps out on sexual norms and recognizes that the norm is not the only normal. Subscribe today and join the conversation.
Partners, there is this, you know, kind of connotation that, oh, like that person is dirty, or, you know, like something, you know, along those lines. And then if you have engaged with that person, it's like now you don't want to take accountability or ownership that you have a role, that now you have a role in this. And more often than not, you need to be getting tested, you know, you need to be getting tested more. And it's not, you know, and, you know, as we're talking, it's not coming from a place of shame. It's coming mm-hmm. from a place of knowing. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't know, then you don't know how to properly proceed in your continued, you know, sexual encounters. And that's what is the main problem.
Because I know there's so many people who are out here like, oh, I don't have any diseases or whatnot. And I'm like, okay, when was the last time you were tested? And their last test date was like 6 months ago. And I'm like, you're too active out here to just have that be your last one. Right. And it's not to shame or anything. It's just, if you know that you're having frequent sex with people, exactly. in different people at that, you should be testing regularly. Right. You should not just be relying on just one test result from 6 months ago to still be accurate today. That's not how it works. That's not how diseases work. That's not how life works. Right. That's like, oh, I got paid let's say I got paid $2,000 6 months ago. Do you still got that $2,000 today? No, mm-hmm. it depreciated more exactly. than likely.
Exactly.
The same thing happens with your health. Things change on a daily basis. Emergencies might pop up, or exposures might come up. Mm. You should treat your health with importance. You should be out here getting tested regularly.
And we also should be having the conversation, you know, sometimes, you know, sexual transmission does not necessarily just even happen through sexual contact. If you have been exposed to, you know, people, if you are or have been exposed to people who are doing drugs, yeah. as far as needles and, you know, just other, you know, types of, you know, equipment, you know, such as that, you know, it could make you more, you know, susceptible to, you know, certain infections, you know, so, you know, that's a conversation that, you know, doesn't, you know, get had as much, you know, either. And then especially as, you know, I think we're moving into, you know, I want to say, like, not necessarily drug induced, but, you know, you just, you know, you have your recreational drugs, you know, of course, but then, you know, of course, you have your hardcore drug, you know, drug use. Yep. And depending on who it is that, you know, you may be engaging with, that may be a, you know, that may be a concern that, you know, you need to take very much into account.
Because a lot of people don't think about what their recreational drugs do to their body's immune system on a regular basis. Is it actually strengthening anything, or is it weakening it? I think alcohol is one of those drugs that actually weakens your immune system. Don't quote me on that. It's been a while since I looked at this, but I really do think that is one of those that weaken your immune system. So if you're out here having drunk sex, unprotected sex on top of that, you don't have a strong enough immune system to be combating anything. So you should really be worried about what you're doing in those times. So it's like, to be, because even when it comes to the shame that some people may have, you know, about being clean or, you know, dirty, whatever the case may be, what steps are you actually making to ensure that you're not giving somebody else something?
Exactly.
Like, just because you got tested for HIV, are you doing a full panel? Do you know if you have HSV-1, HSV-2, even though HSV-1 is not considered STI, and shoot, HSP, herpes simplex virus, there we go, HSV-2, and one, they're pretty much the same thing. But it's like, how in depth are you going into your study of your own sexual health?
Exactly.
Another thing that that you brought up in our discussion for this episode was anal health and HPV. What do you have to say about that, essentially?
You know, I think that if you are going to engage with the nature of anal sex, there's obviously certain precautions that, you know, obviously that you need to take. Obviously, we kind of know the process surrounding douching and, you know, just things like that, which I have heard, you know, doctors have gone on record to, you know, say, because I think when it comes to anal penetration, I think it's one of those things that, you know, you do want to douche because, you know, the fact that, you know, you want to be clean, you know, you feel like, you know, obviously being clean and things like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. However, I do know that many medical professionals have gone on record to say, like, but just be careful, because if you're doing it, you know, too much, you can be upsetting, you know, your actual intestines and things that, you know, have to happen naturally with your body. And even as I was reading, a couple medical professionals were saying that, you know, a lot of times with anal penetration or anal sex, it's really a fear of something happening. Because if you think about your body and your health system, it's kind of like your body does a natural job of cleaning you mm-hmm. out. So when you consistently mess with that, you know, that can essentially pose problems. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, to be clean, you know, a simple routine of bathing, soap, water, you know, like it does the, you know, like it does the trick. Like, you know, you don't need to have, you know, you know, kind of out there measures. Now, I do know that there are, you know, also, or, you know, kind of like herbal supplements that, you know, don't, you know, harm anything. Actually, I, for one, even though I don't engage with anal penetration off, you know, too mm-hmm. often, I do like taking, which I do have, I have a supplement, which is the Pure for Men capsules that, you know, kind of regulate, you know, like those organs in those areas. Mm-hmm. And they also have, you know, other nutritional, you know, kind of aspects. But, you know, I do say, you know, if you're going to engage, you know, with anal penetration, anal sex, you know, to, yeah, be aware of certain, you know, certain things, but, you know, not to go overboard, you know, in thinking that, okay, I have to do all of these things, you know, to get ready for it. Because one, to me, that kind of all of that prep, you know, is kind of like mm-hmm. that takes the fun out of things. And, you know, it's entirely too much. It's entirely yeah. too much. And then especially if you happen to have an encounter where the person, they're only kind of in the groove with you for a couple minutes, and now you didn't spend all this time, you know, trying to, you're gonna be mad as hell.
Look, you're gonna be mad as hell. I've had conversations with other bottoms and whatnot that have been talking about how they may go a couple days without eating, or may fast for like the day before and whatnot. And I'm like, you can, there's ways, like if a fleet can just get you cleared out as quick as you need and whatnot. Yeah. And that's even with some women who participate in anal sex too, yeah. how they may starve themselves, or when it comes up to that point where they are going to be participating with in anal sex with their partner, they may just eat only fruits and vegetables the day before, which I'm not knocking that. Do that. That's as long as you're eating.
Right, yeah, yeah. You don't want people starving themselves. You know.
Like, if you really want to make sure that you have some kind of diet that is going to help, you know, with cleansing out your body, eat a lot more celery, because that is what celery is great for, is clearing out your intestines a little bit. So eating more celery is great. Making sure you have stuff with fiber in it, and just having healthy bowel movements will be great as well. Absolutely. It's like, you don't have to starve yourself for a week just to get some dick. Right. Let's not do that.
And I think that the mentality of it is because of the fact, like, to be, you know, completely honest, you know, you don't want to have, you know, any kind of painting accidents to, you mm-hmm. know, happen and things like that. But something that also is a stigma that, you know, needs to be, you know, tackled and just, you know, just completely rethought is like for the people that do engage in the top aspect of, you know, penetration, you know, you have to understand that you're dealing with the body. The body is the body. The body is going to have natural, you know, natural functions. Now, I'm not saying that that is a just cause to, you know, go ahead. And if you are, you know, happen to be, you know, be penetrated, that, you know, to go ahead and eat something entirely heavy and, you know, then to, you know, engage in a sexual encounter. No, but just know that, yeah, accidents, you know, they may happen. So, you know, like, that's what you take the aspect of when you engage in anal penetration, you know. So, you know, I just, you know, I hate the fact of when, you know, when I see, you know, like comments of, you know, saying like, oh, you know, somebody better not ever do that on me because, you know, like it's a, you know, it's just going to be a wrap and, you know, just all of that stuff, because it's like you're reinforcing innately what is the problem.
It's like, why be there? It's natural for the body. Like, this is another reason why it's better to just wear condoms, just in case if that do happen, take the fucking condom off, throw it in trash and put on another one. Yeah. Like, it's that simple.
Even if, you know, some type of incident does happen, wash yourself off real quick and then just get back into it. Like,
ain't it? It's not that big of a deal.
I feel so bad for so many people, you know, men and women who have just been shamed in, you know, just sexual encounters. And a lot of times, you know, those shaming incidents are what has our sexual perspectives to be what they are, you know, when you are, you know, consistently saying that, you know, you're just, you know, this, you know, in this particular sexual position or role. And it's like, you know, we don't think about how much our past experiences of embarrassment and shame actually play, you know, a part into that.
That's, you like know? Even the other day I was just scrolling through some profiles and whatnot, and I saw somebody who's like, you have to have tip-top hygiene, make sure you clean out and all this other stuff. And I'm like, okay. And on this same person's profile, I think had top, was top whatever. And I'm like, so I get what you're trying to say here, because hygiene is important. Like, if you,
of course.
And of course, you know, there's those kinks that is a little bit more on the rustic side of things. Not shaming y'all, do your thing. But it's like, what are your hygienes like? If you're over here trying to coach other people on that, they have to have pristine hygiene. Some of you people who consider yourselves tops don't even know how to shower properly, and you're trying to tell somebody else how to behave with their body.
But don't you always find that though? It's like the people who have this laundry list of things that are a necessity, like, you act like your shit don't stink. Like, you know, so it's like, you know, you're not the picturesque, you know, person either. And then those kind of profiles, it's like, it's so vague, because it's like, when you say, you know, top cleanliness or top hygiene, it's like, well, what do you particularly mean by that? Because everybody has their own natural body scent, their own natural odor. So, you know, I would even prefer if you said that, oh, like, I prefer women or men who smell like lavender, or, you know, like they smell like this particular fragrance, or, you know, something that is attractive to you, because at least then that way you're giving somebody, oh, this is a, you know, this is like a turn on for them, you know, in some sort of way or fashion. But it's like, when you make comments like that, it's like, what are people supposed to take for that? And then just because they're with you, they may not think that you're the pillar of good hygiene.
Right.
Know? Really?
Like, I know, even for myself, when it comes to, because I'm getting out of that stage of using deodorant. I still use like a natural deodorant every now and again, but I like essential oils a lot better. And that I also like my, you know, if I'm, because I'm not out here sweating up a storm, for one. So, and since I'm in mostly highly ventilated areas with that has nothing but cold air blowing out, I'm not sweating up a storm. Right. So why continue to buy deodorant for nothing? But of course, I essential oil myself up, because I love the scents that I have. But I'm like, if you are talking about be in top hygiene, and if we're having hot and sweaty sex and I start to get musky because of that, so is that now I have bad hygiene?
Right. and then knowing, like you say, like everybody's natural body is different. So everybody is going to sweat in more places than you know, others. You know, you may have a, you know, places on your body that may do have a particular odor, And it's not to say like, oh, you know, like because that is present that, oh my God, like you're a dirty person or, you know, like something like that. And that, cause that if we even think about, you know, like there was some, you know, a lot of talk within like social media, I believe like it, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it was like with like Ashton Kutcher or, you know, something like that, where they were talking about like the whole bathing aspect, about like not necessarily bathing, you know, like
washing your legs,
that thing. Something like that. And I remember when I was hearing it, I'm like, when the outrage started, I was like, okay, like this is being blown way, you know, kind of like way out of proportion. They're not saying like they don't bathe, you know, their children or, you know, anything like that. And even again, going back to medical professionals, you know, like they say, if you are not like in the gym or have some sort of job like in construction where you are constantly, you know, like sweating and, you know, things like that, technically speaking, like you could, you know, go a day or so without they, and you're and it's not to say you're a dirty person. And a lot of medical professionals have even warned against bathing too much because when you do that, you are messing up the follicles in your, you know, those follicles in your skin that are being built to, you know, protect you from like insect and bug bites and, you know, things like that. So when you are, if you are bathing too much, you know, that can, you know, that can cause irritation and, you know, just things like that. But you have a lot of people, and like, I don't knock it because, you know, people feel the need for their cleanliness. That's all, you know, that's all well and good. But I'm just saying, like, it's not a, it's not like a, oh my God, like you dirty person.
Right.
Because like you didn't happen to bathe for a day.
Because I remember this is something that happened back in the day. I was also kind of shamed for by my statement, and trust me, I still don't give a damn. But it was a post about how frequently some people bathe, and one person, okay, I know there's a point where I'm just like, I just can't do it. If that's you, and nobody can smell anything, continue to do you, because whatever. But someone's like, oh, I bathe every single day. The other one's like, they were like every 48 hours or so, and then there were some people that's like 4 days, or even a week, once a week. I don't think I can do once a week, but I commented saying, well, you know, for myself, I actually only bathe every other day because one, I'm in a work environment where I'm sitting down every day. I'm not active. I'm not sweating. I'm not musky. I'm not any of that. I'm just, you know, living my life. And somebody even mentioned that, oh, well, you know, you're a plus size man. And because you're a plus size man, you should be thinking of your hygiene a lot more because we sweat a lot more. But I'm like, me being plus size have nothing to do with my overall hygiene. Because trust me, If I'm going to be hooking up with somebody, oh, definitely I'm going to be, you know, showering up. If I'm going out to the club somewhere, if even after the club, I'm taking a shower. But it's like, I'm going to work. I'm not going to really be around people.
Yeah.
Even if I am going to be around people, they're not going to be able to smell me because I can't even smell myself. Like, because, you know, if you smell yourself, other people can smell you. So it's
like and that's what people don't recognize. Like, everybody's body is different. So you may need to be someone who, you know, bathes a lot more frequently because of what it is that you do. But like you say, if you are someone that, you know, like, hey, like 4 days out of the week, I'm not really even by anybody. I'm inside. So, you know, because I take, you know, the fact that you share, I mean, even just for myself, I mean, yes, obviously I do, you know, bathe frequently, but it's one of those things where, yeah, I may take an actual bath maybe every other day or maybe every 2 days. And in between those days, I may be like taking like a quick wash off, you know, to wash, you know, like my important private areas or, you know, something like that. And of course, like if I'm going out or something like that, of course I bathe, like you say, if I know I'm going to be around, you know, people, you know, things like that. So I do, you know, definitely see what you're saying. It's kind of like, if it's not getting to a point where it's like, you, like you say, like, you know, you when you smell yourself, then yeah, you know, you get to a point where, you know, hey, you know, it's bad. But, you know, it's like everybody's body temp, body's odor, you know, it's very different. You know, so it's just, yeah, I just, like, people just calm down. Worry about your own body. Like, everybody needs to just worry about their own body. But I do know the fact that it does become a problem, though. You know, I have a very close family member of mine who I won't mention, but she is very sensitive to smell. And she can't, you know, stand for people to, you know, be hovering, you know, like over her and things like that, especially if they have like a certain, you know, type of scent, you know, and it's, you know, in certain instances, you know, when she talks about this, it is funny, but I can only imagine, you know, like there's a difference, you know, in like natural odor and, you know, just being funky or musty. So it's like, and like I say, that may not even be deliberate. It just may be depending on what you're doing, you know? So it's like, yeah, for all of us that have a very heightened sense of smell, it's not, you know, it's not really one of those things that's that easy.
Look, I will say, most definitely for those people who are out here working out, most definitely myself, because look, every day I work out, I'm taking a shower, because please, if you know that you have a pungent body odor, and I don't mean that in a bad way, sometimes, you know, just running something up under there to, you know, relinquish that odor a little bit is good, because sometimes I'm not trying to wake up and just automatically smell some onions in my room. I'm not, like, no shame, but it's one of those things. But it's like, even when it's like working out, like there's been sometimes I will come home after I worked out and my clothes don't even have a smell to them. It's like, I'm still taking that shower, but it's like things like that.
And I think that we're so subconscious about that even being young, because I remember the one thing I hated in high school was that, because I went to a high school where you did not have to necessarily engage, you know, with like group activities or anything, but you had to dress out, you know, so dressing out was a part of your gym grade. And I remember, especially in the boys' locker room, for whatever the reason, they would like get changed from, you know, their gym clothes, but instead of just letting their natural, you know, kind of like body odor, you know, just linger for a period or two, they would get in the locker room and spray all this damn Axe body spray. And I'm just like walking into it, it's like, oh my God, I'm ready to pass out. Because it's like, y'all are really not understanding. And I'm not, and I trust me, chemistry was one of my worst subjects. But I know enough to know that when you are mixing sweat and, and to me, Axe already stinks anyway, just personally, my opinion. It's strong. And when you are mixing those two scents together, it's just like atrocious. And I always used to have in my head, I'm like, guys, y'all really weren't doing anything like too much. Y'all were throwing around the football in the gym or playing basketball or, you know, whatever, like letting your natural body odor just linger. Natural body odor does not stink. Like, it's not a stink type of a smell. Yeah, you can smell it, but it's not like a stink type of a smell. But by you spraying all of that onto, now mixing that Axe with your body sweat, it's like, yeah, now you do stink.
Now I'm triggered, because I remember working out and trying that once, and the under my arm burned so fucking bad. I was like, I would never do this again.
No.
Like, why? Oh, how the hell did y'all do these all these years? No, I'd rather just rinse off my fucking piss and just be great. No.
I can't.
Like,
it brings back such terrible memories.
Like, that's another reason why I just prefer just to do essential oils or just not wear deodorant these days, is because, one, I realize when I'm just walking around the track or exercising or doing something light and I just leave, I might have my little bit of oniony smell going on, but it's like you said, it's not that strong, it's not that heavy, and on top of that, like just in general, it's nothing that I actually like. For some weird reason, I smell better than I did when I was using a lot more deodorants and sprays versus when I'm not using them and just using like a essential oil.
Yeah. And something that, you know, and especially particularly speaking, you know, specifically to men, but this can, you know, be applied to anybody. As you get older, you have to get to know your body and know that not all fragrances are going to be for you. Mm. Not all lotions are going to be for you and things like that. So you really have to find things that are good to your skin. I take that, you know, as a high compliment. One of the compliments I always get about myself is that people always think I have like good skin. So I'm like, oh, thank you. But it's one of those things that, you know, you have, that's a process. Mm-hmm. You know, there are certain type of lotions that you can apply if you have, you know, particularly dry skin a lot. You know, there's particular, you know, fragrances. Like I know for myself, I'm a smaller guy. I'm only 5'3". So I don't like strong colognes. Because to me, it doesn't fit with my body type. So as far as fragrances go, of course, I love cologne, but I love colognes that have a little bit more of a lighter, scent, because that goes with the nature of my height and my weight. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of times people don't think about those, you know, think about those kind of things, that not all fragrances are going to appeal to your body.
Mm-hmm. I know, like for myself, I don't like, okay, Polo. Okay. This one Polo that Polo fragrance I have, I love it. It actually smells really good. And I do use that every now and again. But I prefer lighter smelling fragrances, as well as like if I'm going to the store to just get something and it's like categorized unisex, female, masculine, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm more on the side of like the feminine perfumes that are a lot lighter smells and are even something that's more of the unisex than I am of the masculine sense, because those things are just way too strong for my
nose. Yeah, they're way too strong.
I don't care that much. I don't want you to know that I'm up in this bitch every time I walk into the room. I don't care. I don't need that broad brazing announcement for y'all. Mm-hmm. I just want y'all to know, look, a nigga just showed the fuck up and you already know what the fuck is going on. And that's exactly. It.
Exactly. And so, yeah. Yeah. So I definitely, you know, as a PSA announcement for everybody out there, you know, get to know your own body. And just because something may smell nice, you know, something may smell nice doesn't mean that it will necessarily smell nice on you. Mm, yeah. So that's why it's important to have people in your circle, no matter if that's your family or your friends, to be candidly honest with you. Like, hey, you know, do you like this? You know, do you like this scent, you know, or something? Because I'll be the first one to tell you like, oh, no, I don't particularly like that. Or, you know, I'll be like, oh, yes, that smells wonderful. You know, right. You know, so definitely get people around you that will tell you the truth. Like, I need y'all to tell me if I'm out here, you know, sweating like a sock.
Ain't it? Now I will say I definitely found my fragrance, because I got way too many comments like, ooh, Virgo, is that you? You already fucking know. Thank you. I'm smelling myself. I am.
But get a whiff.
Oh my gosh. I love wearing it, because like if I'm going to be around people, and I'm a hugger too, and you just get that hug and then you get that whiff and you just like, okay, bird. you know I came here to be sexy.
Look, this the grown folks stuff. This y'all is ain't ready folks. Mm. y'all ain't ready
for this. Oh, you'll fall in love too quick. Stop it. Look, I like, one of the things, this is completely off topic, one of the things that I focus on in terms of coaching is sexual expression. And I feel that sexual expression, sexual experience. So for sexual experience coaching is like understanding everything that works out for you and what can build that connection with you and your partner during that entire experience. And that is looking at the smells that you have, looking at the sounds, looking at the environment, colors, and all that other stuff that enhances the experience. So for those people who might be, you know, trying to enhance their sexual experience, think about if you are both people who like smells, think about the smells that y'all have in your environment and see how that impacts your sexuality. So that's just a free coaching thing.
Use the environment.
Use the environment.
It could do wonders. Have you in an explosion of a great and a wonderful variety.
Look, having an awakening.
Speak about the awakening.
So I know we're over the time limit and need to get into Never Have I Ever and whatnot, but I feel like this still is an important conversation to have. It is just body scans in general, and you know how sexual health is a part of your physical health and also part of your mental health too. But what are some of the importance of body scans, most definitely as it relates to STIs and whatnot?
Yes. So I have a very close family member who works in the medical field, and something that they say that they get calls in a lot of time is that people don't know what to do if they're experiencing, you know, something of a STI. And it's kind of like one of those things. One, you're kind of like embarrassed or ashamed to even call about it in the first place. Mm-hmm. But it's also one of those things that, well, if you think that something is going on, you know, definitely get it checked, you know, immediately, because it could be something, it could be, you know, it could be nothing. But definitely as far as body scans are important for all genders, all identities, because you know, the nature of you keeping up with your health from just a visual perspective is highly important. So I definitely recommend, that's why it's important, you know, to feel on yourself, not just for pleasure mm-hmm, purposes, mm-hmm. but, you know, just for health purposes as well. You know, feel around your arm, feel around your thigh, feel around, you know, your private areas, just to, you know, make sure that, you know, you're not, you know, see if there's any bumps that are forming or lumps or, you know, those kind of things. If it is something that is forming that looks a little bit minuscule, it's a prominent thing in Black culture, you know, put Vaseline on everything.
So Vaseline, you know, be working though.
Try Vaseline at first, but yeah, definitely if you notice, you know, something that is becoming a lot more prominent, or, you know, you're getting, you know, like a lot of bumps in a lot of places, mm-hmm. or, you know, something like that, something that you can clearly see that is not right. You know, that also goes for like certain types of itching and, you know, things like that, you know, of course, for certain areas, burning sensations,
excessive discharge.
Yes. So yeah, those are like things that, you know, you definitely want to be on the lookout for and to watch for.
Mm-hmm. So body scans are not just for breast cancer, it's for everybody. In breast cancer is not just for women. vulva owning persons, is for everybody. Mm-hmm. When it comes to STIs, definitely, like you said, look at your body, look for patches of bumps, look at random bumps that's forming on your body. Definitely with the discharge is normal, people. It is normal, because I know there's some people who's just like, okay, I don't understand what the hell is going on here. Why is this like this fluid leaking out of my body? It's okay. That is something normal, most definitely if you are a vulva owner. But excessive discharge, when things are either discolored, looking a little bit different, or if it's increased in flow, then definitely look into that.
And I do want to say it's also important to, because I know every year when I have my yearly physical, of course, and this is why it's important to make sure that you have a PCP, that you're comfortable with a primary care physician, because when they make you do like your blood and your urine tests, sometimes when, especially like for urine samples, you may not be able to see it because of the coloring, but sometimes, you know, and it's not to, you know, scare people out there, but just speaking personally for myself, I have had times where there's been like some blood in my urine. And it may be because of the fact, you know, you're not drinking, you know, maybe enough water. It may be something else, but it's something that if it does cause a nature of a concern to, you know, just monitor, it may just be something small and, you know, hey, you just may need to be drinking a little bit more water. Or, you know, if it doesn't really give cause for concern, it may, you know, be because, you, hey, you need to do a little bit of this more. But definitely don't discount the fact that just because you don't happen to see something in certain regards, that something may not be happening. So in those instances, it is, you know, I'm going to say, you know, depending on how often, you know, you need to visit, you know, a primary care or, you know, health medical professionals that, you know, you're comfortable with. Just make sure definitely in the annual visit that you are wanting to make sure that you're doing regular urine samples or blood tests and things like that, because those are the quickest ways to know if something is going.
Amen to that. On that note, let's go ahead and bring out that never have I ever shit. Oh my God. And I'm just going to let you know now, I already, I while you were talking, I picked the card and I did read the card and it just, it went there. Okay. Are you ready?
All right. Let's do it.
So it is never have I ever tasted my own cum because I wanted to know what it tasted like.
Oh yeah, I have.
I have as well.
Yeah. I think that's natural.
I would say it's natural too, because you need to know what it tastes like. If you out here thinking other people need to taste your own. If you don't like the taste, what you need to improve that taste, because other people not going to like it.
Yeah, and I mean, even in, you know, like sexual conversations that, you know, I happen to have, like, I will say that, you know, I'm not necessarily a, you know, big, you know, cum person. Like, I don't necessarily even like my own cum on me, but it's just like, oh yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, I think that's just a part of natural curiosity. Like, you want to know, you know, what it tastes like. So,
right. So, taste your cum, people. Taste it. See, enjoy your own fruits. It's your seed. Love it.
Exactly.
So I'm going to do a would you rather. So would this is actually interesting. Would you rather accidentally send nude photos to your ex or accidentally send them to a neighbor?
Accidentally send nude photos to your ex or to your neighbor? Let's see. I guess I would rather send them to the ex, because I just have the feeling like the ex is like, more than likely, if they're an ex, they've already probably seen me anyway. So it's like, it's not going to be anything that's a big deal. Depending on who the neighbor is, though, that could be a little bit creepy-ish. It could also be like, well, you know, my news are, you know, in taste. So, you know, I may be getting some unwanted attention that, you know, I may not be seeking at the moment. So, you know, just, yeah, I feel like the neighbor thing is a little bit more of a toss-up. It depends on who the neighbor is. And then also, like I say, it depends on who the neighbor is, because I think about the fact, like, and I don't know, just taking this to a very dark place, like, what if the neighbor happened to be like a minor, or, you know, something like, or, you know, something like that, like,
That's a good point.
There's just too many unknown factors with the nature of a neighbor. But yeah, my ex has probably seen me new, obviously seen me new, so it's not like that. Be like, this is what you're missing out on now.
Stop. I upgraded a little bit, you know. Still fine, just a little bit extra on that.
And shoot, you never know, I may have sent it on purpose just
I'm done. I will say definitely wouldn't mind sending one to an ex. It's just like, okay, you've seen a nude before. It is what it is. And I'm also with you, it depends on the fucking neighbor, because I do have a couple neighbors that I'm just like, you know what, if the interest align. Let's see what the fuck. Yeah. Let's pop some shit off and pop things off multiple times. Like firecrack pop off. Let's go. What's up?
Yeah, because on that flip side, you know, you can, you, like you say, you can have that neighbor where it's like, you know, we can get this on and pop, and if we want to take it there.
Look, pull the fuck up. We're in the same neighborhood. What's up?
Like, ring that bell.
Look, like, all I can say, look, if this becomes a regular thing, it becomes a regular thing. But just know it's going to be strictly fucking, because I'm not trying to date you. not really. This is a lust thing, not a love thing.
Right. Let's make sure we know.
That's Kurt. That's real Kurt. But would you like a sex question?
Sure.
Let's see what it's talking about. So what's your policy on having sex under the influence?
Ooh, it's policy for having sex under the influence. Still, that there needs to be a consent that is involved. Yes. I actually read something that's a very prophetic piece of work where the author was describing the nature of them being, not necessarily being the one that was violated, but feeling like he was the one that was the violator. And even though his partner at the time didn't see it that way, it doesn't make the experience, you know, nonetheless. And so I really think that if you happen to be coupled or even dating, just recognize, be aware of the state of intoxication that inebriates the both of you, because obviously we know that alcohol affects people, you know, very differently. And, you know, just make sure that you are also having boundaries, you know, with yourself. If you, I'm not going to say that there's nothing, you know, wrong with drunk sex. That can actually be a, you know, good bit of a turn on. I do think that anything that's done in overindulgence is definitely a cause for concern. So if you recognize that you are only being with your partner, only being with this person, if it's under the influence, then yes, that's a concern that needs to be rectified and addressed. But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong, you know, with being, you know, a little under influence while wanting to be with the partner, but just recognize about the fact that consent still needs to be had. And it's a part of the reason why you need to be very honest with yourself. If you know that you are only a person that can have that one or two drinks has you, you know, out there, guess what? You don't need to be in a sexual situation. If you know that you are someone that, hey, you tend to be a little bit more touchy-feely or a little bit more handsy, or maybe even a little bit more aggressive, you don't need to be putting yourself in a sexual situation, because something that you don't think can happen can escalate into something, and it could be something that could be harmless, but you don't want it to get to that point. And I know personally for me, I don't mind having, you know, a drink or two, but I've always been the type of drinker where it's like, I don't drink to the point to get drunk. Like, I drink to just have a little bit of a buzz. Once I have a buzz, I'm good. So really, like, two drinks for me is good. So, and I wouldn't want to put myself in a situation where I am, you know, I'm so inebriated that, you know, the physical autonomy that I have of my own body, I feel like there's a loss of control with it. So I don't know. That's just where I go in my mind.
I'm with you on that. That's I would say that is essentially my policy as well. Like you said, consent is definitely most important. And I don't mind having drunk sex if I'm drinking wine, because wine just is a very mellow thing, and I just like wine is delicious, and I don't have it enough. Like every once in a while I might drink some wine, but if I was with a partner and we had like drank a bottle of wine or whatever and we decided to have sex after that, I would love that. But when it's come to other drugs and mixing that, I personally am not going to indulge in that. Have I had sex while drinking tequila? Still very functioning, probably two shots, and that's about it. Still can function and do whatever I want to do and whatnot. And I have a good experience, but it's just, I don't like the lingering effects of other alcohols outside of just wine. Wine is something that comes in and just quickly goes out or just, you know, soothes you and has me relax. My partner's relax. It is what it is. We just enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
But being like extremely drunk, belligerent, or even just to the point where you can barely walk, I don't want no parts in that. I don't want to talk to that. That can just go to sleep, relax. Do you want me to braid your hair while you're sleeping? Do you want me to rub your back? Whatever you need, I can be there to help you out. But if it's anything sexual, it's just not going to rock over here. I don't want none of that. And even if I just so happen, because I don't really binge drink like that, and I don't see myself getting that drunk anytime soon. But even if I'm the person that's coming home and I'm just that super drunk, just put me in bed, because that's what I really want.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, just go to sleep.
That's what I really want. I don't really want to have sex. I don't. I'd rather just be not the
just
fuck
out. Just turn me on my side and, you know, just let me sleep it off.
Don't touch me. Don't touch me,
Mom. Don't touch me.
So I will say that's the end of this episode. Do you have any tips, tricks, or anything that you want to share with the audience?
Not necessarily tips or tricks. You know, you have to have a X-rated conversation with me for that. But what I will say is just, you know, recapping, you know, something, obviously a lot of things that we've talked about, you know, for anybody that's out there, please do not feel stigmatized. If you happen to have been exposed to an STI or STD, please be informed, you know, about sexual history of, you know, your current partner or past partners. It can actually be a good, actual great aspect as far as foreplay goes. It doesn't have to be some sort of cringy or awkward, you know, kind of thing to bring up. There are great guides to how to bring up sexual health in dating and things like that to actually make it a good part of courtship. So definitely, you know, don't feel like you're alone. There are plenty of resources out there to help you in navigate having the conversation, you know, with yourself. Definitely make sure that, you know, you're keeping your cleanliness up, making sure you bathe properly, you know, those kind of things, of course. And yeah, just as when it comes to your overall health, just make sure that you're always informed. If something feels off, definitely check into it. Don't dismiss it. It's rather to be overly cautious about something and it turn out to be nothing than to dismiss it. And now it's something major that could have, you know, been rectified.
There we go. On that note, thank you all. Actually, first, thank you so much for, you know, joining me this episode, Tyrell. I was almost disrespectful. We can't do that on the Holiloquy podcast.
It's no worries. I always love coming, and thank you so much for having me.
So thank you all so much for listening to the Holiloquy podcast, where we step out and speak on sexuality. And just in case no one else told you this today, you are beautiful. You are worthy of happiness and joy. You are enough and then some. You may not live up to the expectations of others, but that is okay. You are only required to walk in your own shoes. May each day you live lead you towards abundance. With that said, love you all and see you next episode. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Holiloquy podcast, where we step out and speak on sexuality. You can subscribe to the podcast through your favorite podcasting app and find us on the web at www.holiloquy.com. That's www.HEAUXLILOQUY.com. Share the podcast with your friends and join the conversation.